This is Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and when I was a youngster, my mom took me to hear legendary jazz clarinetist Benny Goodman live at Carnegie Hall. After the concert, I emptied my piggy bank and went out to purchase my first Benny Goodman album. I found a cheap cutout and actually had some money left over, so when the record store salesman suggested I check out an album by New Orleans Dixieland clarinetist Pete Fountain just a few feet away, I promptly bought that Best of Pete Fountain double album as well. And boy, am I glad I did. When it comes to upbeat, good times music, it's hard to beat a good Dixieland band, and here in the Triad, that means the Muddy River Jazz Band, led by outstanding clarinetist Mr. David Reed. Needless to say, I was thrilled when Dave and his band agreed to come visit us here at the station. They've got a concert coming up on Sunday, September 15th at Fellowship Presbyterian Church, and they stop by WFDD for a little sneak preview live in Studio A. Muddy River Jazz Band, welcome to Studio A. On banjo, Hoxie Jones. On tuba, we've got Tom Reed over there. Drums, John Wilson, way over in the corner, tastefully subdued, but he can cut it when we need it. And Mr. Ken Wilmot on trumpet. Clarinet, reedist, Dave Reed, and Northwestern Wildcat alumnus. Welcome. Welcome back. Good to see you. It's been a while. Welcome. And Dave, tell me your hook into this great music tradition before we launch into to a tune. When did it start? And tell me about it.
Oh, it started real early. I was fourth grade, and my mom was a music teacher, and I think she liked the idea of the clarinet because you could play it in orchestra, you could play it in a jazz band, and you know, she felt it was versatile and so on. So that's what I got started on. This is a school band program.
And this is in Chicago area? Where was this?
Yeah, we were in Highland Park, Illinois at the time. Yeah, just outside of Chicago. Yeah.
Home of Ravinia, Chicago Symphony summer home, right?
Right.
Highland Park area, beautiful area. Well, we could talk and talk and talk, but you guys are all warmed up and ready to go. You're itching to itching to dive into a tune here. So, Dave, tell us, what are we going to hear first?
Okay, we're going to do our arrangement of Down by the Riverside, and we kind of picked this because it shows off some of the different instruments at different times, so you can get to hear different ones individually.
Nice. Well, speaking of that, well, let's launch into it, then we'll follow up with a little sample from each of you, just a little bit, just to kind of put the pieces of the puzzle together. But this is Down by the Riverside and Muddy River Jazz Band live in Studio A. Take it away whenever you're ready. Thank you. Oh, man, that was sweet. What a great way to kick things off. Down by the Riverside, live in Studio A, and this is the Muddy River Jazz Band. Dave, Down by the Riverside, the tune itself, a standard, if ever there was one, religious connotations? Is this about a baptism? What's going on down by the Riverside?
Yeah, I think it kind of has a religious connotation. Some of the words in there, like study war no more. We ain't going to study war no more.
I love this tune so much. As you mentioned, we get a chance to kind of break it down. You get to hear the different textures that they build and build and build. And gosh, you guys do a great job of staying out of each other's way and meandering that. But Ken, I'm going to turn to you because you play in the symphony and also some straight ahead jazz. Is there a different approach with Dixieland than, say, straight ahead?
There's a very different approach. Actually, in Dixieland, more or less, the trumpet's role is to play the melody and not stray far from the melody. And I may embellish that here and there, but I can't go too outside of the tune because of my role has to be that melody.
Why is it? What if Ken strays away from that melody, per se? How does that affect what you're doing over there in clarinet?
Well, it might affect it because I'm trying to play into what he's doing. And we're, of course, all following the same structure of the tune. So I'll be listening to him and trying to make something fit in with whatever he does. So.
Man, you got a good read today. That sounds really solid. And I don't mean Tom over there on the tube either. I'm talking about that read. That sounds beautiful. Wow, what a sweet sound. Hey, and I'm going to move over to the banjo because for a lot of listeners, hearing a banjo in a jazz setting may be new. In this area, we hear a lot of bluegrass and great bluegrass picking on the banjo, but this is maybe the oldest instrument in this jazz context. Tell me about the role of the banjo. What are you doing over there, Hoaxie? And it sounds so good.
Well, mostly just keeping up with the melody. And accompany, just rhythm, more rhythm than anything else.
So are you keying off of what John's doing over there and trying to find your holes that way, or Tom to your left, the tuba? What are you listening to most?
Yeah, usually I just stay in with Tommy. I rely more on him, and of course I listen with another ear to John over here and try to keep up with all of them because sometimes I get lost.
Well, man, it sounds tight, and I'm really enjoying it. I am a huge fan of the Dirty Dozen Brass Band, and man, I'm a big fan of tuba playing. Love your playing here. Is it fun? What do you like about this context? Tell me about your role in the group, Tom, what you love about it.
My musical career started at church in the Moravian music in this area, which is pretty strong, but flourished into invites with the Dixieland that have really helped my career a lot and my playing abilities a lot too. But I'm just a rhythm player. You know, John and I keep the beat. We keep the one and threes going for those guys up there, and that's what sets the tone for the beat.
And when you say the one and threes, you're talking about beat one and beat three.
That's it. We stay on the beats, and we get a chance to shine occasionally, but not much.
Well, that's what I love about that tune. Down by the Riverside, you all got your little four-bar solo or eight-bar solo, as it were. And John, I wouldn't be complete without a visit with John Wilson here. John, you play all styles of music. What's a consideration in this group? What do you think, and what are some of the things you love about it and you try to get across?
Well, this is the granddaddy of the music of this genre, of the huge genre of jazz and everything that followed. What I'm doing is called a shimmy beat on the snare drum and the bass drum and the hi-hat, and that was first formed by Warren Baby Dodds, the brother of Johnny Dodds, the clarinetist, and they all played with Louis Armstrong back way, way back there. You know, it's just a matter of, like, getting with Tommy and throwing in some syncopation to make it interesting, or else it's just a Sousa march.
Here's a little march beat.
That's an old-fashioned march from like the 1800s or before. And this is the shimmy.
It is funky. It's got laid back and tight at the same time. It's a great contrast. Love it. Dave, tell me what we're going to hear next.
We might try a tune called I Found a New Baby.
I got to ask, I heard a little pitch bending there, and I want to let listeners hear what that is, and then maybe you could describe how the heck you do that, and you do it so well. In that tune, I heard a real nice pitch. Talk about it and give us an example here.
Well, pitch bending is just a way of making things sound a little funkier, like John would say. And you do it with your lip, basically, just by loosening and tightening the lip and making the pitch go flat or go sharp. So.
All right. Now, Ken, the color of this playing, it's like you're right in the moment. You take me back to the 30s. How do you make a trumpet sound cornet-like like that?
There are a couple things that we do in Dixieland music that are not taught in traditional trumpet playing, but one of them I want to demonstrate for you is a lip trill.
I've always wanted to hear a lip trill live in Studio A. What are you doing to make that happen?
You know, actually, it's a movement of the tongue and the lips. And I also do some, it's sort of similar to the bending that Dave did on the clarinet, but it took a lot of practice to do it that fast. But it's sort of a characteristic sound for cornet or trumpet in the Dixieland. Louis Armstrong does quite a bit of that.
Is it a trumpet or a cornet?
This actually is a trumpet that I have with me today, but I do have a cornet.
And just for listeners, what's the difference? The
difference is actually just the design of the instrument. The cornet is what we call a conical design, and the trumpet is cylindrical, which means conical means that where the mouthpiece goes in the cornet, it starts very small and gradually gets larger, like a cone shape. And actually what that does is gives it a much darker sound. The French horn is also a conical instrument, which gives it that dark sound. And the trumpet is cylindrical, which is pretty much the same diameter of the tubing all the way to the bell, and then it becomes conical at the end. It has a much brighter sound. For some reason, the trumpet became more popular than cornet in classical music and in the big band and jazz music, probably because of its brilliance and bright sound.
That's right. Well, you're getting a beautiful sound regardless, trumpet, cornet, and enjoying it so much. We're going to hear one more tune now, Tin Roof Blues, a classic if ever there was one. Thank you. All right, the Muddy River Jazz Band. We heard Hoaxie Jones on banjo, and John Wilson on drums, trumpeter Ken Wilmot, Dave Reed on clarinet, and taking a mean tuba solo, Tom Reed. Hey, Tom, I gotta shake your hand on that one. Yeah, that sounded beautiful. Man, you deserve your moment in the sun. What's your background this time? You said Moravian band is and that's huge here, especially on Easter time. Tell me about your transition to this music and how you kind of grown through it.
Well, I in high school played like everybody marching bands, and then got out and farmed with my dad for years, and got called by an old friend of mine that played trumpet in a group, and asked me to come back and play and see a little bit of Dixieland stuff, and that's where it grew into. Probably 15, 20 years ago.
I really enjoyed your solo, and thank you for sharing it with us. And hats off to all of you. That was a lot of fun, and I appreciate you being here. Thanks for visiting.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, David.
Thank you so much.
The Muddy River Jazz Band, live in Studio A. You can hear them live in concert on Sunday, September 15th at Fellowship Presbyterian Church. You'll find links to more information at wfdd.org, and click on Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. When we come back from the short break, you'd better bring your appetite. Journalist, documentary filmmaker, and food historian Lolis Eli may be best known for his work as staff writer for the HBO drama Tremé, set in post-Katrina New Orleans. But his new book, Tremé, Stories and Recipes from the Heart of New Orleans, is already turning heads of foodies everywhere. Next, when Triad Arts Weekend continues.